Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Brody. It's Friday, June 25th, 2021. We begin with a big congratulations to Kamala Harris. Hey, good for her. The VP finally did it. She made it to the border. And when she arrived, this is what she saw. Lots of protest signs. We should point out that she actually didn't even tour the border. She was like 3 miles from the border at a border patrol station. And oh, by the way, she was there for like a couple of hours and then boom, off to LAX. More in a moment. Also today, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, announcing that the Department of Justice is suing Georgia over their new election integrity laws, the DOJ calling this racist, saying it denies the right of black Georgians to vote on account of their race or color. It is explosive stuff from the DOJ today, and we're going to explore it. Plus, Joe Biden and a group of 20 senators have a deal on infrastructure, but is it going to hold? Did Biden already insert his foot into his mouth and effectively kill the deal? Rick Klein from ABC News will be here to discuss. Also today, we've all heard about the January 6th commission that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to form. Well, how about the November 3rd commission? In other words, a commission to explore election fraud in the 2020 election. U.S. Senate candidate from Ohio, Josh Mandel, will be here to talk about his idea. But first, I want to talk about the border. The VP finally made it down there. And once again, maybe we should throw her a party. I don't know, maybe a nice Hallmark card. Madison, do we have one of those? We could do that because this is quite an occasion. She's at the border. Joining me now, someone who's repeatedly told her to get down to the border, Congressman Brian Babin, back with us on the Water Cooler. Congressman, hey, she's finally there. I'm not sure how much she can understand or get done in 3 hours because she's not there for very long.
Well, thank you, David. As usual, great to be with you. I'm glad she went to the border, but she really didn't get any closer than 3 miles away from what I understand. And quite frankly, she's in the wrong place. She should have gone to a real hot spot in the Rio Grande Valley sector, about 600-700 miles away. And that's McAllen, Del Rio, Laredo, which is in that RGV area, in that sector. And it doesn't look like she was there long enough or talked to the right people to really see what was going on. I think this was a just check the box for her. And she, like you said, she's off and off to California. But I think who we need to really thank for her getting down there, and that is President Donald J. Trump. She would not have come had Trump not have announced that he was going there next week. And then within magically within about 36 hours, oh, she was going down there. And so all I can tell you is that this border is a situation that the American people ought to be aware of. They ought to be very, very concerned about what this Biden administration is doing down there. And quite frankly, David, this seems to be purposefully done to open our borders to enable the and empower the drug cartels. We've seen 90,000 drug overdose deaths of American citizens in this past year. The intent of the Democrat Party, you cannot help but think this is on purpose. This is maliciously done, knowingly, willfully, putting our national security and the lives and property of American citizens at risk, as well as the migrants themselves. I mean, we have people dying down on this border. And so for Kamala Harris to go to the border and stay a couple of hours and be several miles from the border, This is not adequate. And the Biden administration should be ashamed of themselves. This is missing in action. This is AWOL. This is they're not living up to their oaths of office to uphold the Constitution, the laws of the United States, and to protect the American citizens and our national security. It simply is. They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
It does feel like a dog and pony show for sure. And this idea, Congressman, you say purposely done, because you're talking about politically, that, that more illegal immigrants into the country will help them, and they want to federalize that by doing H.R. 1 and SB 1.
No question.
Yeah, okay. So just so I understand that. On infrastructure, what do you make of this, whatever, there's so many gangs up on Capitol Hill, I can't keep it straight, gang of 20 now, these senators over there. What's the view in the House about this infrastructure bill? What's your sense of whether or not this is going to see the light of day?
Well, in light of what the president himself has said, that he will not sign any bill that doesn't have this legislation has got to have come in tandem with a multi-trillion-dollar reconciliation package that he wants, and that's got to be focused, he says, on Democratic priorities such as child and elder care, climate change, health care, and human infrastructure, whatever that means. It's incredible. So this looks like a photo op for him to say, oh, yeah, I worked across the aisle. But I don't think anything like this is ever going to be put into law. And when the catchword here is reconciliation. Yeah. You don't use reconciliation if you have bipartisanship. That's the way you ram things through with only the majority party. And that's what they're doing on infrastructure. And the package that we're seeing, I don't even know all the language in it yet, or even what it's what the total cost is. But I think it's well over $1 trillion now. And the American people should be very, very leery of seeing what's happening here. This is just other language for, hey, we're ramming Green New Deal provisions down your throat, America. Yeah. And that's what they're wanting to do.
This sounds like, in a way, kind of political hostage taking. In other words, you know, we'll go for the we'll go for your bipartisan deal as long as you give us Bernie Sanders utopia America along with it.
Exactly. I mean, every bill they seem to have done since the Biden administration has taken office and Pelosi is ramming things down our throats in the House of Representatives is simply bills to be vehicles to push through as many liberal initiatives as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And we better be thankful that we have a filibuster rule over in the Senate to keep this kind of garbage from going through. And I'll tell you something else, David. This Biden administration and the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, which is absolutely the ones that are calling the shots, they are a huge, huge threat to the well-being, the survival of the United States of America, our great republic, our freedoms, and our liberties. And we better beware of what they are trying to do.
Congressman, before we let you go, there's one last topic I need to get to. The Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, came out today. In essence, the DOJ is suing the state of Georgia over their voting laws. I believe we have that sound. We do. Madison says we have the sound. So let's play Merrick Garland. I want to get your reaction.
Today, the Department of Justice is suing the state of Georgia. Our complaint alleges that recent changes to Georgia's election laws were enacted with the purpose of denying or abridging the right of black Georgians to vote on account of their race or color in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Congressman, your reaction to that?
My first reaction is thank God that Merrick Garland is not on the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to rule over on this thing, and there is no way in the world that you can construe and interpret election integrity laws, to be voter suppression or racist in any possible form or fashion. It just simply isn't. The American people saw what happened on November the 3rd last year, and millions of Americans were very, very concerned to see these anomalies, these irregularities. A very recently localized election for mayor in one of our Texas cities, the candidate won because she had more mail-in ballots than the opponent. Mail-in ballots, drive-through voter voting registration from motor vehicle databases, and being illegal to ask for photo IDs to ascertain and determine if someone is a legal voter. These are not suppressing people's civil rights for race or anything else. It is total and absolute nothing but Democrat poppycock in their way of trying to take over and deny the American people the right to have confidence in their states and their local election processes. This is what H.R. 1 was all about, the very first bill that Pelosi introduces, and that is a federal takeover of local and state control of the election process. And that's what they want. Yeah. And they want it for one reason only, David, and that's to keep the majority and keep control of the United States of America.
Congressman Brian Babin, always telling us exactly how you feel, and we appreciate that here on the Water Cooler. Thanks, Congressman.
Thank you, David. God bless.
You too. Have a great weekend. Look, here's the headline from that interview. He said the word poppycock. I mean, when do you ever hear that word? You never hear that word. Anyhow, that's what I took out of the interview. Just kidding. Very interesting. Back in a moment.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. I was watching that promo come in. They should call it the Take That Tour from Donald Trump. Anyhow, just my opinion. I'm a marketer at heart. What can I tell you? All right, let's get to the headline, shall we? Josh Mandel. Look at this. He's calling for a November 3rd commission and stands by the belief that Trump won in 2020. Now, that is original. November 3rd commission. Take that, January 6th. That's very interesting. All right, let's get more on that from, Josh Mandel, who's candidate for U.S. Senate there in Ohio. Josh, great to have you on the Water Cooler again.
Hey, David, always good to be on. And we're pumped to have President Trump here in Ohio tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to get to that in just a moment. Tell us about this November 3rd commission. I tell you what, it's a unique idea, and maybe even more than unique, probably needed in this country.
It's definitely needed. Today, I'm calling on the U.S. Senate and Congress to abolish the January 6th commission. The January 6th commission is a total waste of taxpayer time and resources, and replace it with a November 3rd commission. The goal of the November 3rd commission would be to investigate the Democratic cheating in the 2020 election, and moving forward and looking forward to ensure that there is no more cheating in our elections and that our elections are fair, free, and secure.
Well, I mean, I'm not even quite sure what to say other than get ready for Jack Dorsey to take a few Excedrin on Twitter, if that ever got out there. How do you fight back against this type of stuff like November 3rd Commission? You know, Facebook and Twitter and all these other places, you're going to get a target on your back for that type of stuff.
I already have that target, David. I've been put in the penalty box by Twitter, by Facebook. And listen, I wear it as a badge of honor. They go after those who frighten them the most. These Silicon Valley tech thugs go after those who they fear the most. And they fear people like me and Donald Trump and Jim Jordan, constitutional conservatives who not only want to drain the swamp, but I'm going to Washington to blow up the swamp. Let's talk about this November 3rd commission, though, for a moment. First, we have to institute photo ID. It shouldn't come from the federal level. The federal level can make recommendations, but the states at their level need to put in place photo ID. If someone has to show a photo to get welfare benefits, if someone has to show a photo to fly Delta Airlines, if John Kasich had to show a photo to get into the Democratic National Convention, then obviously photo ID is not racist. This whole thing that the Democrats, they say that it's racist, it's a bunch of baloney, David, and we need to institute photo ID. Second, we need to make sure that liberals in this country cannot change the rules midway through the game. Or like what happened in Pennsylvania, they moved the goalpost with about 2 minutes left in the game. And if I recall, they were using reasons like, quote unquote, public health. So they were conflating the Fauci shutdown hysteria and fraud with the election fraud, and the media covered for them. And we got to make sure that never happens again as well.
Yeah, by the way, I got to commend you on the John Kasich line. That was pretty good. I just want to let you know. All right. Today Merrick Garland came out, the Attorney General of the United States, and announced that the DOJ is suing the state of Georgia over their voter election laws, calling them racist. I want to play this for you from Merrick Garland. This is unbelievable because, well, let's talk about it on the other side. Here he is.
Today, the Department of Justice is suing the state of Georgia. Our complaint alleges that recent changes to Georgia's election laws were enacted with the purpose of denying or abridging the right of black Georgians to vote on account of their race or color in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Fascinating, Josh. I mean, you're saying that what happened in 2020 needs to be investigated, and he's basically turning that exactly in reverse and saying we're going to investigate election integrity.
It's, what he's doing is insane, and it'll trample on our liberty. But the Democrats, they have no appreciation for liberty and individual freedom whatsoever. Listen, a couple weeks ago, I was out in Maricopa County in Arizona. I was at the Coliseum where they're auditing the vote. And I walked away from it with this feeling. Not only should they be auditing the vote in Arizona, but also we should be auditing the vote in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, and in Georgia. When you see, David, politicians or bureaucrats on the left being afraid of an audit, you got to ask the question, why? What do you have to hide? Because the reality is when there's a politician or a government bureaucrat who doesn't want to be audited, they obviously are keeping something in the shadows and they're hiding it from we the people.
Josh, what's the answer to the critics who say this thing has already been counted and recounted in certain places and that these audits are, the liberal media calls them sham audits? What's your reaction to that?
Well, the reality of it is that none of it's been investigated. And the reason I'm saying we should get rid of the January 6th commission and replace it with a November 3rd commission so the federal government can use the subpoena power and investigative powers to actually look under the hood and do the full proctological exam of all these elections in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, see what happened, shine bright lights on the cheating, and then most importantly, make sure it never happens again and make recommendations to the states, to state legislators and secretaries of state to make sure it never happens again. And that's why I think this November 3rd commission, it should be a commission that includes U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen, secretaries of state, and state legislators, because at the end of the day, we don't want Washington making election rules. We want those laws made at the state level. I believe very strongly in states' rights.
For sure. We've got about 30 seconds or so. We had President Trump on this show at the beginning of the week on Monday. Real America's Voice posted the interview on their YouTube channel, and they got a strike against them. The video was removed. The interview was removed. Your reaction to things like that, of what's happening when people like yourself and others question the election?
Listen, Jack Dorsey at Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook, all these big tech thugs, they bully, they censor, they boot off their platforms those who they fear the most. And that's why we as constitutional conservatives, patriotic Americans, believers in the Trump America First agenda, we need to turn up the volume. We need to expose them for what they are. These big tech thugs are liars and bullies. And you know what happens when you punch a bully in the face? That's when you get the reaction.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I've punched a few bullies. No, that's not true. I haven't. But all right, Josh Mandel, thanks for being here, sir. You're great. Have a great weekend. All right, Josh Mandel running for Senate in Ohio, and he is a very, very strong contender out there. When we come back, Rick Klein from ABC News will break down all this infrastructure stuff. Back in a moment.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Will there be a big infrastructure deal between Republicans, Democrats, and the White House? You get a sense that there will be, and then you also kind of get a sense that there, well, there might not be. Here's the Just the News headline. Biden indicating that the bipartisan infrastructure bill must pass, here's the key words, in tandem with the reconciliation bill. We want to discuss all of this with ABC News' Rick Klein, the ABC News political director. Rick, thanks for being here as always, sir.
You bet, David.
Boy, that those in tandem words, I kind of feel like he said the quiet part out loud. I mean, because we kind of all knew that this is exactly where it was going. But I mean, I'm not sure if you really want to negotiate that way in front of the microphones with the press.
Yeah, it was striking just moments after championing this bipartisan deal for $1 trillion or so in infrastructure spend, or five Republicans on board for that, to say, I'm only going to sign it if I get the other bigger one, the one that could be six times as large. And I think you saw Biden there acknowledging the reality among progressives on his left. Nancy Pelosi had made it clear that you don't get one without the other. But at the same time, they're not done yet with trying to get Republicans on board. Five is not 10. You'll need 10 Republicans to get to 60 votes. That's the critical threshold. So it is quite a balancing act. And I think Biden made clear that, that he knows that he needs Democrats on board in saying that he needs to have both. And what the exact definition of in tandem is, does that mean they have to be there simultaneously? We've heard the White House try to clarify that a little bit by saying that the timeline really is left to Congress. So maybe there's some wiggle room there. But he was pretty explicit that that his view is that you don't get one without the other either.
What's your sense of whether or not this can get over the threshold? Is there more pressure? Clearly, I would think more pressure on Democrats here to make sure they get their house in order. They've got razor-thin majorities.
Yeah, and I think Biden said yesterday that he thinks his party is rational, that they're not going to say goodbye to a majorly, you know, a major deal if they just because they don't get everything in an even bigger deal. But that's the reality now that progressives are facing is, you know, the Senate is closely divided. So is the House. I can't imagine that the president doesn't get Democrats on board for now that he's behind it for the first time. That changes the dynamics of it, David. But it's a moot point if you don't get 10 Republicans. And again, only five is the number now. And Republicans are going to have lots of excuses to come out against this. The price tag, the procedural aspects of this. We've seen Senator Lindsey Graham come out pretty quickly and say that it's a bit of a bait and switch to say, you know, once you agree to $1 trillion, actually it's going to be a $6 trillion. So at this stage, I don't know where to exactly handicap it. I think there's a lot of hard work ahead. The moment was a big one for Biden yesterday to have Republicans and Democrats together on the White House, right outside the White House, championing this big deal. A lot of folks never thought it would get this far, but we haven't seen any votes at all yet.
You know, Lindsey Graham did say that Biden's making the GOP look like idiots over this bipartisan infrastructure agreement. Because if you think about it, I'm trying to understand what's in it for Republicans. I mean, this seems like political blackmail in a way. I mean, why would they even do this knowing that reconciliation and Bernie Sanders and the big enchilada of social welfare infrastructure is just around the corner? What are they even getting out of it at this point?
Well, I think there's two reasons Republicans might be supportive. One is members of Congress love to bring back roads and bridges to their constituents.
Good
That's
point.
A Democratic and a Republican thing. And if you can take some small slice of that and say, look, I've made your life better and I've made the district better, that's something. The other thing is that, you know, as much as we all get caught up in the procedural niceties of this, I think a lot of Republicans have always expected this would be the case. They use reconciliation to pass the Trump tax cuts. They've always expected that Democrats would try to push this as far as they can. However, they can get away with it. Parliamentary maneuvering. They have the majority, and there's not much Republicans can do about that. So maybe they, like you said, saying the quiet part out loud. I think this was the expectation all along anyway. That said, if you're an on-the-fence Republican, having the price tag essentially grow from $1 to $6 trillion because the president says you have to have both. That's a big deal.
Well, that's a good point. And also, I mean, Trump was going to do infrastructure. They never got to it. I mean, to do hard infrastructure is not hard, if you will, for Republicans, I guess. I think then the question maybe for Republicans politically where it could help them in 2022 is say, hey, look, we did hard infrastructure, but all this other stuff, budget reconciliation is a pun intended, a bridge too far.
Yeah, you could see that. I think the other side of all of that is, do Republicans want to give Biden a win, any win, but particularly a win in an area that Trump wasn't able to deliver? That might argue against it as you get closer to 2022. And maybe, whatever blame or credit gets spread around. I mean, I don't think voters are going to be thinking, hey, this bridge was through the regular process with the bipartisan deal and that one over there because of budget reconciliation. Either people or either there are shovels in the ground and lives are getting better and improved or they're not. And the bigger, economic impact of everything is probably of a higher midterm concern. A year and a half out, it's impossible to know what the elections next year are going to turn on. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months, I think, because to have this moment is really something. It's something I think Biden has long sought, and a lot of people in his own party and the Republican Party never thought it would happen. But you saw it, David. Those five Democrats and five Republicans, all smiles, big smiles there at the White House yesterday.
Rick, one last topic, the Vice President Kamala Harris at the border. I've really never understood this from the White House, why they didn't get in front of this ahead of time. I mean, why not put her at the border a very long time ago and you open yourself up to criticism? Anyhow, she's there and now she's staying for, a few hours and she's not even on the border. I think my understanding is she's just a few miles from the border at a patrol center. What's your take on the politics of all of this?
Yeah, look, they're not good for Kamala Harris. And I think, the interview that she did a few weeks ago during her trip down to Central America, where she was dismissive of the idea going to the border, that added to this. The fact that former President Trump's going to be there just next week with Governor Abbott, who's vowing to construct the wall, makes it look at least like she's responding to that pressure. Obviously, the policy is going to be out in front in this, and that's another area where the administration has some problems. But I politically speaking, it's hard to see a lot of good things out of this trip. I've been a little bit surprised that they haven't done it already, that they've allowed this to be developed into the talking point that it has been. But we'll have to see. I mean, she's making the trip, and I've seen some Republicans at least giving her credit for making that trip, although, as you said, probably not going even to the part of the border that's the most problematic.
Yeah, for sure. Rick Klein, ABC News, have a great weekend. Really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, David. Good to be with you.
All right. Love to have Rick on the show. Such great insight and really just he's in the know. He's in the know. And so that's obviously important because that makes one of us here on the show. All right. So that's interesting because infrastructure and Kamala Harris at the border, and there's so much going on in this Biden administration. We haven't even gotten to some of the culture war aspects of the administration. But believe me, we'll be doing that all next week. And so I'm looking forward to that. All right. When we come back, we've got Dave Bratt on the show, the dean of the School of Business at Liberty University. That's a mouthful. The dean of the School of Business at Liberty University. That is a workout for the mouth. Anyhow, he's got some news about inflation, and also he'll weigh in on the infrastructure deal as well. Back in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. There is an infrastructure deal in place. Joe Biden and this 20 senators, the gang of 20, so many gangs up there on Capitol Hill. But anyhow, they've all agreed to this infrastructure package on just kind of hard infrastructure, if you will. But then look at this headline because of what Biden said. Biden actually indicates that this bipartisan infrastructure bill must pass in tandem with a reconciliation bill. Let me give a translation to you on that. What that means is Bernie Sanders is like in his liberal utopia dungeon working on this budget reconciliation bill that has all the social welfare stuff as it relates to infrastructure. They want all of that passed as well, and Biden won't sign the hard infrastructure without the Bernie dungeon liberal utopia bill. That's the point of all of that. Here's Biden talking a little bit about that.
President, you said you want both of these measures to come to you in tandem. Did you receive any assurances that that will happen? And how do you anticipate, what will you do?
I control that. If they don't come, I'm not signing. Real simple. So what I expect that in the coming months this summer, before the fiscal year is over, that we will have voted on this bill, as well the infrastructure bill, as well as voted on the budget resolution, and that's when they'll. But if only one comes to me, I'm not. If this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it. It's in tandem.
Mr. President.
Do you support then Speaker Pelosi's stated plan to hold the bipartisan deal in the House until the Senate also passes reconciliation? Do you support that sequencing on her part?
Yes.
All right, that's Joe Biden. At least he wasn't whispering. You remember, he was whispering. We'll talk about that a little later. That was really creepy when he was whispering. Did you see that? Anyhow, Dr. Dave Bratt joining us now, Dean of the School of Business at Liberty University. Dave, great to have you on the show again.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, Dave.
What do you make of what Biden's talking about here in this whole infrastructure business?
Yeah, some of the folks at home may not know that reconciliation piece you can pass with just 50 votes in the Senate if it's only budgetary, if it's just numbers. In other words, you can't pass other, you know, wider, broader social policy or stuff that's not related to the budget. So they have a window now to get $1 trillion here, and then Pelosi made it clear to Biden that she wants her, you know, the big Christmas tree lit up with $3 or $4 trillion more in all of the social spending, what they call infrastructure. What we need in this country, right, what China has, is a massive infrastructure package aimed at making us the greatest industrial nation in the world, like we always were. And so under Trump, you had Navarro and some of those guys that tied the infrastructure package to bringing jobs back to America. And for the first time, the folks with just a high school degree, et cetera, their wage rates were going up for the first time in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And we were making people rich and successful instead of addicted to the government. Well, the Democrats want none of that. And so that's what you're saying.
So Dave, I'm a little confused. You're a former congressman. Why are the Republicans, why would they even go along with something like this? I mean, you know, this is like political blackmail. It's like, we're going to go ahead give you the hard win on hard infrastructure, but then it's only going to come if they go ahead with the budget reconciliation deal too. I mean, what are Republicans getting out of the deal? They're getting nothing.
Yeah, and all they needed was 10 Republicans go along in the Senate, right? And so, but you know, there might be more. The Republicans in the Senate, they do want to show some bipartisanship. Strategically, it might even be smart. I don't like it because you know what you just said is true. We're going to get steamrolled, but they know that. So they're putting the trillion number up on the real stuff, on the more real infrastructure that actually leads to economic growth. But the other piece that's more strategic is you can't be totally political because you need the Joe Manchins of the world to stay sane and rational and be a good guy to keep the filibuster from going bye-bye. So if the Republicans overplay their hand and don't do any teamwork whatsoever, you know, for $1 trillion on infrastructure that helps economic growth nominally, okay, you know, it's not pretty, but I can pinch my nose for that if it helps the Manchins of the world stay stay off the warpath.
No, that's a good point. I mean, Republicans can say, look, we did the hard infrastructure, which is, you know, politically, what's the word I'm looking for? Popular, if you will. But the other stuff, they can let the Democrats, you know, deal with that and the political fallout from that. All right. I want to show another headline out there today about a key inflation measure has climbed to its highest level since 1992, the PCE. I don't know, Dave, you're going to have to explain all this to me. But what's going on here with inflation in the latest here?
Yeah, well, the Fed came out last week too, and you know, at first they said don't worry, you know, these new price rises and inflation you're seeing is just due to coming out of a recession and out of COVID. People have some checks at home. There's a little pent up demand. They're going out shopping, and so prices are going up. Supply can't keep up with it, right? Demand is outpacing supply is a common story right now across many sectors. And so you get some prices. But now the Fed has come out in the last few days and started to change its tune because they probably had the data on that new number you mentioned. And so some of the new numbers are going, whoa, we're way outside of the, you know, the Fed has a 2% target. And if you ever get outside of that bound, right, you can go do a quick read on inflation, but it's hard, terribly hard to forecast. There's a long lag between the monetary policy you put into place like 6 months, a year ago. And so you don't, the best science can't tell you exactly when you're going to see it. But the one thing it does say is once it gets out of control, it's very hard to put the genie back in the bottle. So right now, the Fed's getting really nervous because they don't want to be in charge of stagflation, where you get inflation and then slow economic growth, and you got Jimmy Carter, and then they're in the doghouse.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Dave Brad, have a great weekend. Really appreciate your time.
Dave,
I always learn something. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. And by the way, maybe I should do a quick read on inflation. That's a quote from Dave Brack. Can you imagine? Honey, sorry, can't. I know you have weekend plans, and I know I was supposed to be part of that, but I can't do it right now. I've got to do a quick read on inflation. That wouldn't go over well in my house. I just want to let you know. But still, at some point, I will do a quick read on inflation. All right, when we come back, the last sip. Remember I talked about Joe Biden whispering? We're going to talk about that next. I know I sound creepy, but please come back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for the last sip on a Friday. Love last sips on a Friday. They're a little bit more crazy. And let's be honest, the whole show is crazy. All right, so you've heard about the Arizona audit, right? That's what we call it here. Guess what the media calls it? They call it the sham audit. S-H-A-M. The sham audit. They have their talking points lined up. I want you to look at this clip put together by our producer, David. Great stuff. Where you see MSNBC, CNN, all these liberal entities using the same exact word. It's like talking points. Have a look.
This week sees Arizona bracing for potential violence as that group of so-called ballot auditors wraps up their so-called work. And in Georgia, a version of that kind of sham audit is right now in front of a judge.
To another bogus charade, the sham audit in Arizona.
The sham audit in Arizona.
Conducting a sham audit.
Arizona sham election audit.
And that sham audit in Arizona.
The sham audit in Arizona.
The sham audit.
The sham audit.
Will Pennsylvania be the next state to launch a sham election audit?
The sham audit of 2.1 million ballots.
Arizona sham audit.
Republicans push for more sham audits.
That includes directly addressing the sham audit.
In Arizona, in the sham audit.
As we approach the end of this sham audit.
The sham audit, quote unquote, in Arizona.
This is a sham.
This sham audit. They had a sham hearing.
Look at that. You see that? Sham, all over the place. Sham media. They're all getting together, a latte sipping crowd, and they're saying, hey, what's our talking point today? Let's go with sham audit. All right. By the way, speaking of the media, it makes me think of Joe Biden. They're kind of like all together. How about Joe Biden yesterday? We're now getting whispering Joe Biden. Can I whisper a little? Whisper. Joe Biden has something to tell you. Here it is.
And you said when people are waiting for relief, I got them $1.9 trillion of relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week.
That was creepy. That was very, I'm sorry, that's really creepy. Why is he whispering? Could you imagine, Madison, if we did the water cooler this way? Hi, welcome to the water cooler. You would turn it off because that would be creepy. Can we hear it a little bit more? Is there a way to just hear a little bit more of that whispering? I mean, it's just so creepy.
I got them They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week.
That is weird. You understand what I'm saying? And I thought that the thing with the sniffing was weird. That's weird, too. Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. Joe Weber is here. If I was from New York, I would be saying Joe Weber. Joe Weber, the news editor from Just the News, is here. Hey, Joe. Hello.
Well, gone are the days of Washington being a sleepy southern town and Friday being slow. Just lots of news coming out of Washington again today. Do you take a look? One of the things that's really interesting is Merrick Garland today announcing that the Justice Department is going to file a lawsuit against Georgia, at least particularly the state lawmakers there and Republicans who have enacted some laws there to fortify the state voting laws to make sure that there's less fraud in the future. He's arguing it against the Voting Rights Act. And, you know, I should have seen this coming. We've seen this argued out in the legislative branch. Largely, we've seen it argued out in states across the country, and now the judiciary branch is involved. So,
yeah, what else you got going on there, Joe? Lots going on.
Well, speaking of that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the infrastructure bill, she argued that the group that's there with the president yesterday, the 10, not enough diversity. You want to change Newton's third law to for every action, there's an equal and opposite cancel at this point, right? And there's going to be very busy this fall. I mean, this summer, as people probably know, your readers, your viewers, well informed that July and August is actually June and July and then early August, very busy in Washington. They're trying to get all their bills done before they leave for the August recess. So they're going to try to get both of those infrastructure bills done before then. Lastly, Mike Pence last night did a speech at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley that he was proud of the work he's done on the getting the Electoral College vote certified on January 6th. I understand you're going to be talking more about that later this next week.
That is correct. We will be talking to an author of one of a very important book about Mike Pence on Monday. So, Joe, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Same to you.
All right. I know Mike Pence is pretty controversial around here. You know, he's doubling down on the whole January 6th thing. What else is he going to do? I mean, you know, he can't say, whoops, sorry, I made a mistake. He's not going to do that. All right. Anyhow, that does it for the show. I'm exhausted, so I'm going to get a lot of sleep this week. In the meantime, I want to leave you with this thought. Shall we? Here's the thought.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week.
It's Biden. He's whispering. It's creepy. It's Uncle Joe-ish. And it is the water cooler that you're watching on Real America's Voice. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday, Lord willing.